Father, I thank you for today. I thank you for your faithfulness to your word. I thank you for your faithfulness to the church. I thank you for your faithfulness to us. I thank you for your faithfulness to me. Father, I thank you that you watch over your word to perform it. I thank you for your faithfulness, for bringing us through another year as we enter this season and we're ending out this year. Lord, help us to reflect on all the wonderful things that you have done and all the things that you are doing. Father, I pray that you would cause this word in these few moments to come alive. Speak to all of our hearts. Cause us to be stirred to continue on with you, fulfilling our purposes and destiny. In Jesus' name, amen. So many of you know that I've been talking about the believer must live by faith. F-A-I-T-H. The believer must live by forging ahead in trusting him. Forging ahead in trusting him. And when the Holy Spirit spoke this to me, it just so resonated because, church, as we continue to move forward, you're going to have to be resolute. You're going to have to be very, very resolute. You're going to have to be very sure about your faith. You're going to have to be very sure about what you believe and who you believe in. And so I want to share a few things that may in some ways be prophetic. Again, in no particular order, but I do know I need to deliver this word, and I think that it'll speak to all of us. As a matter of fact, I know that it'll speak to all of us. We've received this word concerning the Joseph anointing. We've received the word of 7 years of abundance, 7 years of plenty. And one of the things that I want to help us with is understanding what that plenty was for and what your plenty is for. So for the next few moments, I want to talk about it out of Genesis 41, 53 through 57, and talking about it that the dream came to pass. Say the dream came to pass. What he interpreted in terms of the king's dream came to pass. But this is what it says in Genesis 41, starting at 53. When the 7 years of plenty, which had been in the land of Egypt, came to an end, and the 7 years of famine began to come, just as Joseph had said, then there was famine in all the lands, but in all the land of Egypt there was bread. I'm sorry. I thought you were like trying to get my attention, like it's not working or something like that. Because you leaning up, like you just leaning into the word. Okay, a few more of y'all lean in too, so I'll know he's Brother Man's leaning up like, all right, I feel you. Let me go back. When the 7 years of plenty, which has been in the land of Egypt, came to an end, and the 7 years of famine began to come, just as Joseph had said, then there was famine in all the lands, but in the land of Egypt there was bread. So when the land of Egypt was famished, the people cried out to Pharaoh for bread. And Pharaoh said to the Egyptians, go to Joseph. Go to Joseph. Now I need you to just grab this real quick. There's going to come a moment when people are going to point to the people of God and say, go to the church. There's going to come a moment when they're going to say, go to the embassy. I need you to get a revelation of why we're here and what this place is going to be in the coming years. It says, go to Joseph. Whatever he says to you, you shall do. I like that. There's always a moment when there's a word given. Go to Joseph. Remember when Jesus shows up at the wedding and they say they're out of wine? Mary says, go to Jesus. And whatever he tells you to do, do it. Go to Joseph. Whatever he says to you, you shall do it. When the famine was spread all over the face of the earth, then Joseph opened all the storehouses. Say storehouses. God wants to position you, position us, so that we become storehouses. Recognize that there is a greater level of discipline that you must operate in to steward what God wants to release to you. Some of you have been stewarding well. Some of you need to steward better. I'm not going to look at anybody because I'm not talking about anybody particularly. I just know my journey. And I'll be the first to tell you, I haven't always stewarded well. But had I not been willing to change, had I not been willing to repent, I wouldn't be in this building, and you probably wouldn't be either. Well, I won't say you probably wouldn't because you may be here. But I'm helping you to understand that through seasons and the processes, which I'm going to talk about in a moment, and some of you have been in that season, you've been in that process, but it's going to be in this time of the receptivity of this word concerning 7 years of abundance that you start getting things in order so when the abundance comes, you steward it well. If you haven't been disciplined in saving and setting aside, you need to start now. If you haven't been disciplined in tithing, you need to start now. Oh, I only got three people on that one. If you haven't been disciplined in tithing, you need to start now. Because God is not going to release abundance to those who haven't proven themselves to be good stewards over his stuff. Because there's going to come a time when famine is going to hit. And I want you to understand that that famine won't necessarily, it should not hit the believer. Because you and I have a covenant. We have covenant rights. But it's going to be how you steward what God has brought to you, whether he can say, go to so-and-so. Go to Rhonda. Go to Artie. Go to Donna. Go to whoever. Because you've stewarded well and you've proven yourself that in the seasons of abundance, and all of us have seasons of abundance, what are you doing with it? What have you done with it? Because it has everything to do with what's going to be released to you in this season. Joseph opened all the storehouses and sold to the Egyptians, and the famine was severe in the land of Egypt. The people, listen to this, the people of all the earth came to Egypt to buy grain from Joseph. Arise, shine, for the light has come. The glory of the Lord has risen upon you. The church, the ecclesia, I'm talking about the true church, will be the answer. And God is calling and speaking to us, to you, to give us opportunity to align ourselves to be a part of the answer, the end time harvest. It was Joseph's stewardship, not just concerning the abundance, but his stewardship through every season of his life that put him in the position. It's the same with you. You can't expect God to bring increase, promote you, and you murmur and complain every time something hits your life. Joseph would not have gotten there. He would not have arrived in that place. God would not have worked through him if, when he was put in that pit, he murmured and complained. When he was in Potiphar's house and then went to prison, he murmured and he complained. The gift would have been shut down. It was Joseph's stewardship of the abundance that allowed them to be ready when the famine came. How are you preparing? Because it's good that you and I can raise our hands and get excited about abundance increase, but you got to know why it's coming. And the scriptures make it clear that you and I are supposed to be able to live a good life. Jesus just simply said, seek first my kingdom and my righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. Simply meaning, I'm going to take care of you. You're taken care of. My covenant guarantees you being taken care of. But in that covenant is blessing. In that covenant is abundance. But it's not for you and I to drive a bigger car, buy a bigger house. Live well, yes. So let me ask you a few practical things. As we have received this word, what are you doing in preparation for abundance? I'm not talking about 2-3% raise, annual raise. I'm talking about supernatural abundance. Is it possible that God can speak to someone having seen your faithfulness, your stewardship over little, and speak to someone and say, God just told me to give you this. He knows you'll steward it well. He knows that you'll hold on to it till you hear from him as to what to do with it. I've learned that when resources come my way unexpectedly, that I hold on to it and I pray and I listen. And God will say, send this person this. Send this person this. Someone texted me this morning with a need. I didn't think twice about it. I cash apped him right then. No, no, you don't have to clap. You don't have to clap. What I'm talking about is the stewardship. And I didn't have to look at my account to see if I had it in the account. I'm not talking about Cash App account. I'm talking about my account. Is it possible that God's looking at your account and he's realizing, oh, their account's getting kind of low. I need to get some money to them. Okay, y'all didn't catch that. I'm saying God is looking at how you're stewarding your funds. He recognizes you're starting to get a little low, so he's going to send somebody to bless you to get that account back where it needs to be so that you can continue to be a blessing to others. I'm going to clap right there just for me because that's where I endeavor to live, right there. It was Joseph's stewardship of the abundance. So recently, from that word, when we got, all of a sudden, we started getting an abundance of donations coming in. And you heard that testimony where we had to go out and we had to literally go out, rent a truck. Brother Keith, Pastor, might have been prophetic. Brother Keith was driving the truck. Amen. Some of you don't know, Keith and I have been in ministry for years together. Yeah, years together. Seen a lot of souls saved. Amen. Amen. Off the street and into prisons. A lot of folks saved. I thank God for you, Keith. I thank God for you, Keith. When abundance happens, though, you got to be ready for it, and you got to do whatever it takes. So that particular day, we needed a U-Haul truck. Rented a U-Haul truck. I wasn't feeling good. Keith wasn't feeling good. We got in there. We got that truck. I said, see you later, Keith. Gave him the keys to the truck. I went back home, got in bed. Keith drove and got the stuff, got it all delivered. Then he went to bed. But we have so much stuff that we had to buy another freezer. All right. Amen. Anybody here need to buy another freezer? Are you making those kind of preparations? Are you making those kind of preparations that when things get tight, you can say, come over to my house. I've got some groceries that are just set aside. They're in a freezer all set aside. Not my regular freezer. It's the abundance freezer. And God will keep stocking that. God will keep storing that. And word will start to spread. Just like he said here, go to Joseph. Besides your normal bank account, do you have an account set aside that's solely for abundance, solely for giving? You don't touch it. It just sits there. You know that's not your money. That's good. You say you believe him for it. You say we're in it. Then you need to take the steps to be able to steward it. As I was praying about and thinking about this prophetic word, I want to bring clarity to when it talks about the famine. Recognize our country, the world, is about to go through some things. Our nation is about to go through some things. You don't want to rely on a stimulus check. You want to rely on God. You want to walk in a place in your faith, trust, going back to forging ahead in trusting Him. Forging ahead in trusting Him. That forging ahead means I'm going to keep moving. I'm going to keep pressing through things. Paul said, I press for the mark of the prize of the high calling in Christ. There is often a need to press. But when this hits, when it happens, not if, when it happens, you and I will be ready. I'm going to be ready. I didn't get enough out of anybody else, so I'm just. So let me share a couple of thoughts with you. Every prophetic word concerning your purpose and destiny comes with a preordained, predetermined process that must be walked out in order to fulfill His desired intent. There are numerous things in motion simultaneously. Any deviation, though, from the process will potentially cause a delay or nullify it completely. Now listen to me. You must know that the moment you and I hear the word, things are shifting right then. You must also recognize, though, your receptivity to a prophetic word, a preached word, a taught word is necessary. Your receptivity is necessary in order to benefit from it and or participate in it. And the reason why it's important to make this point is because a lot of folks can hear the prophetic but not be receptive to it. My bishop shared years ago, and I've never forgotten it, and I teach it. There's four ways that you and I can respond to a word. We can receive it, reject it, resist it, or reduce it. And I'm here to tell you, I've done all that. I've received some words, I've rejected some. Some needed to be rejected because they weren't really the word of the Lord. Other times, I resisted it, and other times, I just reduced it. And I want to tell you about reducing the word, because the thing that you and I, if we are not intentional, what we'll do is we'll take that word and we'll reduce it to fit our current conditions. We will take that word and make it fit our current reality rather than recognize that word is not to be worked into, but rather that word comes to change everything. Is this making sense to you? And so there is a process. Joseph didn't recognize what the process was going to be, or he might not have been as happy to share those dreams. But there was a process. He's going to have to be sold into slavery. He's going to have to end up in Potiphar's house. He's going to have to go to prison. And all of that worked him right into position. Sometimes, brothers, things happen in life, but you can't allow that to stop you. Things have happened in my life and yours too, but you can't allow that to stop you. Your receptivity to a prophetic word is necessary in order to benefit from it and or participate in it. When you demonstrate your receptivity, God knows you're open to hearing him. But an individual who doesn't give themselves to the prophetic unction, hearing the word, that prophetic stops. Meaning, God's not going to talk to you that way. Now, he may talk to you in another way, and some say, well, I just don't really buy into all that. I read the word. I study the word. That's good. You want to study the word so that when you get a prophetic word, you can take it back to the word of God so that you're not living in error. But I am grateful for the sensitivity of Holy Spirit in my life that I've been able to live, hear him in those moments of the prophetic. Because if we are not open to spirit of prophecy, the prophetic, often you will miss those Holy Spirit audibles. See, it's not just what he has said, it's what he's saying. And so I know that and I think of it like this, like, you know, we're up here in worship. I'm listening for the audibles. I'm listening for the Holy Spirit audibles in our worship. So we start out and we're worshiping, and today we came in and Pastor Jamal was leading powerful intercession, and the song that was playing was the track "My Heart Cries for You" with words of thanks and gratitude. There's so much I want to say. If I only had the word, if I could only find the words, I would write to you a never-ending song. I would sing to you till all my breath is gone. I would sing of your amazing love and how you set me free. Your mercies never end. In grace I found a friend. My heart cries. It was such an atmosphere that we knew, I knew, and I think the team did as well, because they were all ready to go. We just began to sing right there. The prophetic flow of our worship. And then in the midst of that worship, where do you want us to go next? Where do you want us to go next? Where do you want us to go next? That's a lifestyle. That's a lifestyle. I said that's a lifestyle, that kind of sensitivity. As I said a moment ago, that there's four ways that we can respond to a prophetic word. Receive it, reject it, resist it, reduce it. Quick example, 2 Kings chapter 7, verse 1. It says, then Elijah said, now let me back up and give you some context. There's a famine. This famine is so bad. Now you got to go back and read it for yourself, because I don't want to spend a lot of time there. This famine is so bad. Okay, got it. All right. This famine is so bad that one mother comes to another and says, let's eat your baby today, and tomorrow we'll eat mine. And they did. That's in the Bible. And she comes to the king saying, she said that we were going to eat hers today, but she's hid her baby. Now, all this is happening, and then word gets out that the king wants to blame Elijah, wants to kill him. You got to go back and read it for yourself. I want you to get the gravity of how bad this situation is. It says this. Then Elijah said, listen to the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord, tomorrow about this time, a measure of fine flour will be sold for a shekel, two measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria. The royal officer on whose hand the king was leaning, answered the man of God and said, "Behold, if the Lord should make windows in heaven, could this thing be?" Then he said, this is the prophet, "Behold, you will see it with your own eyes, but you will not eat of it." What was this officer doing? He was resisting and rejecting the word. I made this statement a little earlier concerning the prophetic word. I said there are numerous things in motion simultaneously. When a word comes to you and I, we are receptive to that word, we receive that word, we embrace that word, things are moving simultaneously. All while the prophet is speaking this, here's what it says. I'm going down now. It says, "Now there were four leprous men at the entrance of the gate. And they said to one another, 'Why do we sit here until we die? Since if we say we will enter the city, then the famine is in the city and we will die there. And if we sit here, we die also. Now therefore come,'" now, listen to what they, let us go over to the camp of the Arameans. "If they spare us, we live. And if they kill us, we will but die." Is there any other thing that happens to you when you're killed? "They arose at twilight to go to the camp of the Arameans. When they came to the outskirt of the camp of the Arameans, behold, there was no one there. For the Lord had caused the army of the Arameans to hear a sound of chariots and a sound of horses, even the sound of a great army. So they said to one another, 'Behold, the king of Israel has hired against us the kings of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians to come upon us.' Therefore, they arose and fled in the twilight and left their camps and their horses and donkeys, even the camp just as it was, and fled for their life." I'm telling you, God is moving right now. I said, God is moving right now. God is moving right now. Can you believe God is moving on my behalf right now? Can you say that? God is moving on my behalf right now. Hey, he's moving right now. God is moving right now. And so when you read it, the lepers go in and they're enjoying themselves. They say, "Man, we can't just do this. We can't. This, it's wrong for us to know this and not go back and tell everybody." So when you read the rest of the story, they go back, they tell everybody, and the king appoints the officer to man the gate for the people coming in to receive. And you know what happens? They run him over. They trample him, thus fulfilling the word that the prophet spoke, said, "You will see it, but you will not eat of it." Wow. Your receptivity to a prophetic word is necessary in order to benefit from it and or participate in it. It's important that we know that. Because here's what I want you to understand. Your openness and your willingness, your degree, to the degree that you are receptive, is going to be to the degree that the word is manifested in your life, in your situation. Talking about abundance, talking about increase. So let me share a little bit about something else that's been on my heart. And as I said, these are in no particular order. They're all connected because they're part of our walk. I want to talk to you for just a few moments about avoiding the danger of thinking you have arrived. I want to talk to us about avoiding the danger of thinking that we have arrived. Some time ago, I did share a message. Are we there yet? Yeah. It's important that you are able to recognize that you have arrived in certain places. But when I talk about avoiding the dangers of thinking you have arrived, is this: you must always remember how you got there. Yeah. And who's keeping you while you're there. So let me share a couple of examples real quick, and then I want to move on here. I just want to, just maybe 15 more minutes, and then Pastor Jamal, I'm going to ask you to come up and lead us in giving and close out our time. It's in Deuteronomy 6, verses 4 through 12. It says this: "Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. These words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart." It says, "You shall teach them diligently to your sons, and you shall talk about them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets on your forehead. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Then it shall come about when the Lord your God brings you into the land which he swore to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, to give you," shout abundance. Abundance. Come on, shout abundance. Abundance. Shout increase. "To give you great and splendid cities which you did not build, and houses full of all good things which you did not fill, and hewn cisterns which you did not dig, vineyards and olive trees which you did not plant, and you eat and are satisfied, then watch yourself." Watch yourself. "That you do not forget the Lord who brought you from the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery." I'm talking about avoiding the danger of thinking you have arrived. See, I don't know about you, but if I am not intentional to remind myself, it's easy to move into autopilot. It's easy to begin to coast your way through. It's easy to pray less. Whew. It is so quiet in here, you could hear a... I can't say what I'm thinking. Things can be going so well that you don't pray as much. You have no discipline of a fasted life that causes you to draw close to God. No time in the Word, really. Very few of you will go back and rehearse this message, not recognizing that it may be the very message that sets you on the course of incredible blessing and breakthrough. In 2 Chronicles 26, let me give you this example. Verse 1 through 5. It says, "And all the people of Judah took Uzziah, who was 16 years old, and made him king in the place of his father, Amaziah. He built Eloth and restored it to Judah, after the king slept with his fathers. Uzziah was 16 years old when he became king, and he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Jechiliah of Jerusalem. He did right in the sight of the Lord according to all of his father Amazon had done. He continued to seek God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding through the vision of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God prospered him." Come on. Then you drop down to verse 15. Now between 5 and 15, incredible things happened. You have to read it for yourself. Because now he's growing. But this is what it says. Verse 15. In Jerusalem, he made engines of war invented by skillful men to be on the towers and on the corners for the purpose of shooting arrows and great stones. Hence, his fame spread afar. Come on. Hence, his fame spread afar. You must know, listen to me, you and I were not created for fame. We can't handle fame. There's nothing in the word that speaks of equating our Christian walk with fame. I'm convinced that notoriety can be a liability. Anonymity can be a strength. But you have to choose to walk there. Hence his fame spread abroad. If there ever was a time when people wanted to be important, wanted to be noticed, wanted to create an aura of fame, we live in it now. It's perpetuated by Facebook. It's perpetuated by TikTok. It's perpetuated by the other platforms that you can get on and put out there whatever you want to put. And it can look good and mean nothing. Hence his fame spread abroad, and he was marvelously helped until he was strong. But when he became strong, his heart was so proud that he acted corruptly and he was unfaithful to the Lord his God. He entered into the temple of the Lord to burn incense on the altar of incense. He thought in his mind that he could do anything he wanted to do. I'm talking about avoiding the danger of thinking you have arrived. The priest tried to stop him, but he wouldn't let him. And it says that when he got in there, they tried to tell him, "This isn't your lane. You're not supposed to be here." But he didn't stop. But when he picked up the censer in his hand, the burning incense, leprosy broke out on him. And he remained a leper until the end of his life. I'm talking about avoiding the danger of thinking you have arrived. Because here's the point that I want to make. As we are experiencing abundance, as you may be experiencing abundance, increase, blessing. And it's this: the gospel, overly associated with prosperity, can produce a false sense of security that you don't need to continue to pursue intimacy with God. It is that intimacy that produces a life of holiness, truth, and his presence. It is the presence of God that produces the power of God. It is he that gives us power to get wealth. Now I need you to take a picture of that. And if you want to post something on Facebook, post that. The gospel, overly associated with prosperity, can produce a false sense of security that you don't need to continue to pursue intimacy with God. It is the intimacy that produces a life of holiness, truth, and His presence. It is the presence of God that produces the power of God. He gives us power to get wealth. In what I'm not saying this to try to convict you. I'm reminding myself. But if it's speaking to you, then just say amen. Amen. I don't ever want to land in a place where things are going so good that I'm not taking the time to worship God. I still go down my basement and go in my secret room and worship God. I still sit and get quiet to hear Holy Spirit. I still set aside times to fast and to seek God. And just to let you know, we will be doing that as we go into the first of the year. So you can eat what you want to eat on New Year's Day. Because you see, if we're not intentional, it doesn't take Holy Ghost. It doesn't take a lot to look around and see what's happening in folks' lives, believers and non-believers. But we have to be careful. There is a place that you and I should walk in. And it's this, that you can expect to see lasting fruit and increase when a person in pursuit of God is operating in their place of grace, favor, and anointing in the season for which they have been called. It should be evidenced in your life. It should be evidenced in my life. And as a result of people seeing that, that's when they come to you and I. That's the arise, shine, for the light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. I got to get one more thought out. Get ready for divine disruptions. Get ready for divine disruptions. Some of you are in the midst of some divine disruptions right now. You just need to be able to discern what it is. Get ready for divine disruptions. You see, the angel stirs the nest when it's time for the eaglets to leave the nest. You've read this before. You've heard this before. Where the eaglets are used to Mama Eagle going out, getting the food, bringing it back, and feeding them. But they get big enough where it says, now you got, you know, it's time for you to go. You going to flap them wings and fly, or you just going to go to heaven? But you got to leave here. It's time. Say it's time. It's time. And so you read about how that those eagles will go and they'll get thorns and they'll get bristles and things, and they'll come and put them in the nest to make it uncomfortable. Say uncomfortable. Now I'm talking to some of you right now that are feeling kind of uncomfortable about the situation. God is stirring things right now. He's sovereignly allowing uncomfortable situations to happen in order to disturb those who have become comfortable. You must know that persecution produces agitation that leads to action. When Jesus spoke to the disciples and said, "You will be witnesses of me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts," they got comfortable. Many of them were hiding out. He allowed the persecution to just keep rising up because it caused them to disperse. And before you knew it, they were fulfilling the very word that God, that Jesus had spoke to them. There is a stirring that's happening right now. Persecution produces agitation that leads to action. Say movement. Movement. Come on, say movement. Movement. You know what happens if you don't move around? Look at somebody and say, you got to keep moving. Got to keep moving. You see, complacency isn't planned. It just happens. Little by little. Matter of fact, in Proverbs chapter 6, 6 through 11, it says this. Go to the ant, O sluggard. I ain't calling you a sluggard. I'm just saying what it says here. Go to the ant, O sluggard. Observe her ways and be wise, which having no chief officer or ruler, prepares her food in the summer and gathers provision in the harvest. Then it says this, how long will you lie down, O sluggard? When will you arise from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of hands to rest. Your poverty will come in like a vagabond. And your need like an armed bandit. Meaning it will just show up on you. And you'll wonder what happened. I'm saying let's get ready. Some of you get ready. Some of you are already in the midst of divine disruptions. I want to say to some of you, you got to recognize you're not being pushed out. You're being pushed into. You're not being pushed out. You're being pushed into. Some things you will not experience. You will not pursue. You will not walk in it on your own except that God allows a circumstance or situation to move you to do something. You're not being pushed out. You're being pushed into. You're being pushed into purpose. You're being pushed into destiny. You're being pushed into that next assignment. Sometimes that person that is working against you is a tool in God's hand. Oh, come on, just thank God for that person right now. Come on, say, God, I thank you for you fill in the blank. Let me say that again. Sometimes that person that's working against you is a tool in God's hand. You, listen, you must be disciplined enough to be still and quiet long enough to discern the reason for what is going on and get direction as to how you are to respond and not react. We react out of our flesh. We respond out of the spirit. Sometimes that person that's working against you is a tool in God's hand. Moses had to come to that understanding concerning Pharaoh. Over and over and over and over and over and over, you will find the pattern. Well, God will take one nation to deal with his people. God will take one person to deal with you. But his dealings with you is to bring out the very best of you. His dealings with you, His dealings with you are to remind you of the vision, remind you of the dream. And never, ever lose sight of the fact that when God gets done using who he used to deal with you, he will deal with them. Wow. Sometimes that person that's working against you is a tool in God's hand. You must see it that way. And we know that all things work together to those that love God. Called according to his purpose. I don't know how this is going to work out, but it's going to work out. I belong to God. So do what you will. At the end of the day, I'm good. At the end of the day, I'm good. Sometimes that person that is working against you is a tool in God's hand. You must be disciplined. When I'm talking about discipline, that means you got to be disciplined in your emotions. You got to be disciplined in your thought processes. You got to be disciplined with your mouth. You got to be disciplined in every way to say, I cannot afford to let anything get in the way of this. God, I will not doubt you. I will praise you. I don't like it. I don't like this person. I don't like this situation, but I'm going to praise you. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to glorify you. I'm going to magnify you. And hey! And when I get on the other side, I'm just going to point back and say, yeah, that's what that was about. For some of you, for some of us, this is where we find ourselves. The dream you have. I'm talking about the dream that you wrote down, the vision you wrote down for an appointed time is not dead. It's just buried under the cares of life. But you can call it forth again. You can resurrect it. You can speak to the dry bones of your vision and command them to live again. I dare you to do it right now. Come on, speak to it. 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 It's just buried under the cares of life. Dig it up. Unearth it. Resurrect it. Call it forth. Jesus stood at that tomb and said, Lazarus, come forth. God spoke to the prophet and said, speak to those dry bones. Prophesy. Live. Call from the four winds. I hear some rattling right now in the spirit. I hear some rattling right. I'm telling you, I told you a moment ago that things happen simultaneously. I hear some rattling right now. I hear some rattling right now. I'm hearing some things shifting right now. I'm hearing some bones beginning to connect. I'm hearing some things beginning to move. I'm hearing some sinew beginning to align itself. I'm hearing flesh come back. Bodies formed. And the breath of God being breathed into it once again. The believer must live by faith. The believer must live by forging ahead in trusting him.